I'm going to look at two segments that our society and even the church considers unclean. The first one, the gay and lesbian community. And some of you are thinking, I can't believe he's going to preach about this. Yeah, we need to. Even though Sandy and I are in Greece, we follow what goes on here in the county. We watched things unfold over the summer. I want to say right off the bat, I think that's a sinful lifestyle. Okay? I want you to know where I stand on this. I think that's a sinful lifestyle. And I also think that lust, adultery, greed, pride, gluttony, etc. are sinful lifestyles. Amen? We live in a constitutional republic. It's not a democracy, okay? How many of you remember the Pledge of Allegiance? And to the republic for which it stands. If you all are concerned about the influence of the gay and lesbian community on our nation, then you need to, as Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You need to be writing your representatives. Do it every week. Make your voice known. You need to vote. Do your civic duty. Render to this government the things that you should. Now, everybody got that? Then when Jesus was confronted about paying the taxes, you know, he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And to God, the things that are God. All right, we've talked about Caesar. Now let's get on to God. What does God require of us toward the gay and lesbian community? He requires love. He requires love. In Luke 7, and I'm not going to go into this a lot because I believe Joel's going to do Luke 7 another Sunday. But you've got this scene where Jesus is eating with some Pharisees, and this woman who's a prostitute comes in and she anoints his feet with oil. Her weeping over for the forgiveness of her tremendous sin, her great sin, and she's forgiven. She weeps and washes his feet, wipes his feet with her hair. And Simon Pharisee, he's looking at this, and now, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. It's interesting that Jesus responds and he says, you know what? I'm a prophet and I know what you're thinking. It was abhorrent to this Pharisee to be in contact with this person. Sexual sin. Well, we want no part of that. Oh my goodness. You don't want to be seen with these people. You touch them? Are you kidding me? Is the church often guilty of being Pharisees toward this community? Yes. Yes. I want to give you an illustration. I said this is a message about our missionary journeys. And we face this. We deal with a lot of European volunteers. They come. And Europe is a dark, ungodly place. And you've got some really strange things that come out of Europe. And we were approached as chaplains of Euro Relief, who is the NGO that runs the Moria refugee camp. We were approached by a volunteer who said, I'd like to talk to you guys. Sure. So we just invite them in. We do member care and chaplain work by inviting people into our home. Make a note of that. She comes in, she sits down, and we're ready for most anything. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, missionaries in China, we've heard it. And she sits down, and we get this a lot. These young people come, and they say, I'm not a Christian. God let me down. I really don't like him. And I don't like the church. And it's implied, talk me out of this. Okay. And we just love them. We just love them. Except she threw another twist into it. And now I'm ready. I'm ready for all this stuff. And then she says, I'm lesbian. Now, I began to channel my inner Pharisee. And I'm going, oh no, man, not that. I don't even like this subject. It's so unclean. As if my sins were more clean. And Jesus said, listen to her. Okay. And Sandy and I listened to her. She talked about her home. She talked about the emotions. She talked about the hurt in her life. She's 18 years old. She talks about the isolation. And she's struggling to know, where do I fit in, and what in the world's going on? And she's tempted. And we were able to eventually tell her, look, just because a person is tempted with homosexuality doesn't mean they're homosexual. It's not your identity. But you don't get to that part until they know how much you care. How many of you have heard that old saying, nobody cares about what you know until they know how much you care? Well, we listened, made some tea, Sandy had some cookies, and we just listened. We just provided a nice place for her to vent. And you know what she said at the end? Y'all have to forgive me. She said, this is the first time in my life anyone has invited me into their home for a meal. Now, I share that with you to say, look around in our society. We were in a restaurant last night. I was looking at the other tables. You often see this. People go to a nice restaurant. This was a nice restaurant. And they're sitting at the table. And for all I know, they're texting each other. We're told that all this technology is supposed to keep us close together. We've never been more isolated in the world than today. Guys, showing real love makes all the difference. As the world moves away from God, and please trust me when I say this, you get outside of Allegheny County and you go outside the U.S. and you will find how evil the world really is. We are stunned. We're stunned. And it's just craving somebody to love. And this girl said, I've never been invited to a home before like this. And Sandy said, well, by golly, come back again next week. And she began to come every week. I didn't like her sin. And Jesus said, well, look, Tim, I died for her. I'm your life, Tim. I live through you. I minister to people through you. I love this gal. Now, this part may not be for everybody. You may not encounter this. And I'm not going to give you a pass that you can just ignore this. I'm just going to say, if this is not on your front burner right now, store it away. It may be one day. You need to draw on this. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to come, and he's going to take that which is mine. He'll disclose it to you. In John 14, he said, he will bring this to your remembrance. Listen carefully, because there may be a day that Jesus will bring this to your remembrance. This is what I've discovered. And this is for all those that we would consider in this business of unclean. You earn the right to talk to people about their sin. Let me repeat that. You earn the right to talk to people about their sin. How do you earn it? By loving them. When we got back from China a couple years ago, I specifically did not go back into ministry in a church. I took a job as a welder. People said, what are you doing? I said, that's where the sinful people are. Godly welders are few and far between, trust me. But you know what? It's the greatest joy in my life. Be setting pre-stressed concrete panels, to be drilling and welding and down in the dirt with young people who would never go to church. And I loved it. In 2006, you all sent me to Switzerland on an evangelistic campaign because I said to you, I don't know what's happening, but God wants me to prepare to be an evangelist. I went with Operation Mobilization. They were the most hardcore evangelistic bunch I knew. They scared me while I was at Moody. I thought, man, those guys, they only see the world in terms of evangelism. I guess that's who I need to go with. And sure as the world, I see things in terms of people going to hell and those who aren't. And I just said, that's where I want to be. Now God has called us to people who are coming looking for Christ. No, I don't approve of her lifestyle, but I love her. And you know what? She felt loved so that when her time on the island was up and she was going to go back to her country in Europe, we do debriefs. You know, this is intense work, and we debrief everybody who comes as chaplains. And so Sandy and I sat down with her. And you know what? She shared how much she's growing in Christ now. Well, this is a good thing. And then she shared with us this really radical website about a radical lesbian who says she is part of the church and that God says this is all okay. And I thought, well, this is going to be awkward. And Sandy and I sat there and went, God, I don't think Joel has covered this. I don't think anybody else I've heard preach. I didn't read about this in seminary. What do I do now? And we listened and we said, you know, there are other voices out there. And Sandy said, you know, just because you're tempted does not mean you are a lesbian. And it got a little tense. And after Sandy said that, you could hear the crickets because nobody was talking. And we said, well, she's going to write us off. I want to tell you, you don't forget people. You continue to love them. Last week, Sandy came to me and said, you know, this gal's just on my heart. Let's contact her. So we got on WhatsApp, you know, and we did, just thinking about you, can we get together? And she immediately wrote back, yeah, let's, you know, tomorrow we'll have a video call. And so we video called with her, and she said, oh, it's just so wonderful to see you guys. And we went, oh, phew. She doesn't hate us for kind of confronting her. And then she said this toward the end of the conversation. She said, you know, you guys are the only ones from the island that have contacted me. She said, you could not have made me happier today. People that the church considers unclean are the very ones we must love. Yes? Now, I don't have all the answers, but you need to walk close with Jesus, and he will explain to you how he wants you to proceed should this be on the front burner of your stove. I want to read something here, and you'll see this in your Grace Group guides, and I want you to talk about it on Wednesday evening. Jesus dines with sinners, and he got in trouble for it, so just go ahead and just plan on getting yourself in trouble. Jesus dines with sinners not because sin is no big deal. Jesus dines with sinners not because he expects us to go on sinning. Jesus dines with sinners not because he knows that some of us are just more prone to certain sins than others and gives us a free pass when our inclinations lead us into sin. No. Jesus dines with sinners not because the Roman government made certain sins into a protected class of citizenship. Did everybody hear that one? Does that apply to us today? Okay. The laws of the land do not nullify the laws of God. Jesus dines with sinners. Okay, now here's the point. Jesus dines with sinners so that he can get close enough to touch us, so that he can participate in the intimacy of table fellowship as a healer and a helper. Jesus comes to change us, to transform us, so that after we have dined with Jesus, we want Jesus more than the sin that beckons our fidelity. Now, I want to say, friends, that works. That works. Jesus is the evangelist, not us. We're going to go deeper into that. Okay, that's the gay and lesbian community. God also brought some other folks across our path that our society and often the church considers unclean. And that is Muslim people. First time somebody challenged me, I was at the missions conference at Riverbend, down in South Carolina. Man was showing slides of Lesbos and Muslim refugees coming, and he walked right up to me and Sandy, and he said, boy, we really need a director of a community center for refugees. And I looked him right in the eye and smiled, and I said, no, that's not for me. 6 months later, we were living there. I don't know anything about Muslim people. They're different than us. And we are conditioned by our government and our media to not like them. Broke my heart walking down a street in Jordan. A young man dressed in Bedouin clothing heard us speak English. He turned around, looked at me and Sandy, and he said, where are you from? We said, we're from America. And he was well versed in all things American, and the next words out of his mouth broke my heart. He said, I'm not a terrorist. He knows that we are conditioned to be suspicious of all of them, especially ones wearing traditional Arab garb. He was Bedouin, so he had on the long robe. But you know something else? They are conditioned to not like us or trust us. So, the Greeks had two words for time. One was chronos, chronology. A watch could actually be called a chronograph. Time. Tick tock, tick tock. But then there's another word in the ancient Greek language for time, and it's kairos, and it means opportune time, a time of opportunity. And right now, I mean today, we are in a kairos moment in time. For 1,290 years, Islam could not be penetrated. And in the last 10 years, more than 4 million people have left Islam to follow Jesus. Not the largest church, but the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. Can you believe that? God is appearing in dreams and visions. God is at work among the Muslim people. And here's what Sandy and I are going to report to you that we are seeing, that love is the key that they're looking for. Since we were here last time, God had just burdened my heart about bringing evangelists to Lesbos Island to share the gospel, because they're just Arabic-speaking evangelists are just 100 times more effective than me in sharing the gospel to these folks. And so a church up in Michigan heard about this. They wanted to know more, and they just said, write a proposal, we want to fund it. And so we got quite a few thousand dollars, and I am beating the bushes over Europe. Lord willing, I'm going to be going to Egypt in November. I'm looking for evangelists. We fly them over to the island, rent their car, put them up in a hotel, give them money for food, and say, go to it. And they are just sharing the gospel everywhere. They find, every day, they are finding people ready to hear about Jesus. Luke 6:35. And this is what we are learning, what God is showing us. Some of these folks really are our enemies. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. You know, that's difficult. That really is. You go out of your way to lend to somebody and do good for them, and, really, you'd like a little attaboy or whatever. But Jesus said, no. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Now, listen to this next line. And you will be sons of the Most High. Daryl, you read from the card. Listen to this prayer. Wow. I want God to answer this prayer. Please give me a heart like Jesus. Folks, I get emotional about this because I've come back to tell you that I am seeing in spades that this is a fight to the death. There is evil in the world that is, you just can't hardly imagine it. And yet, in all that, God is calling people to himself. Jesus actually appears to people. They see dreams. Jesus on the cross, and they speak to him. What are you doing? What? Why is this happening? And he says to him, I'm doing this so you can have the peace that you're looking for. God is at work. And he says to us, okay, now everything in society says, these people are unclean, they don't like you, they don't like you, and they'll kill you. And we are conditioned to be afraid of them. But Jesus said, if you love them and you lend to them and you expect nothing in return, you will actually be sons of the Most High. You will actually be demonstrating that you have a relationship with God, that you are part of God's family, and you are acting like your father. Look at what it says. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Jesus is saying, look, guys, God does this every day. And if you do it, you will be acting just like him. There are a couple verses that I want us to look at before I give you an illustration here. And these are verses that I've been using for years, and they really get right to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. John chapter 1, verse 18. This just sets up a little explanation about Jesus. John 1:18 says this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, and that's Jesus, he has explained him. Jesus came to earth a man, and God lived in this man in order that he would explain who God is. You read through the Gospels, that's Jesus explaining who God is. This is what God is like. Everybody got that, right? Any question about that? Jesus came to explain who God is and what he's like. You think, yeah, Tim, I got that. You know, go to your next point. You think you're getting off that easy. Not a chance. John 14:20, Jesus drops the hammer. He's explaining to his disciples that he's leaving tomorrow. He says, I'm not going to leave you guys as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And in verse 20 of John 14, he says, and in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The very Jesus who explains who God is lives in you. All right, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. I love doing this. If you're born again, if you've trusted in Jesus, just look at me and wink, okay? All right. I see that wink. Did Jesus come into your life when you were born again? Yes? Is he still there? Okay, now, this is us. He is our life. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, that was Jesus saying, guys, I've gone as far as I can in my body. May I have your body? I'm not kidding about this. This is serious. May I have your body? And what should our answer be? Yes. Please give me a heart like Jesus. Yes, some people will not embrace this the first time we tell them. And they may not. This is why Jesus said, expect nothing in return. They may not even appreciate our love and concern. All right, Wes, I'm going to ask you to stop the streaming for a minute. I went up to visit a family, and when I got there, the man was on his blanket facing toward Mecca, and he was praying. I've been conditioned in this country to not like that. But you know what? I've seen too many of them one day get up and stop following Islam, and they follow Jesus. The evangelists that we bring, that guy that you saw up in the corner, here's what he told me. He said, when I talk to these people, they all say the same thing. Tell your volunteers to keep doing what they're doing. We know that they are from God. Now, they've been conditioned their whole life to distrust us, to not like us, to hate us because we hate them. They get off a boat, they come to a refugee camp, and it's Christians helping them, Christians feeding them, Christians giving them clothing. Does that remind anybody of a verse? Anything in the Bible about that? I was naked and you clothed me, hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you came to me. I was in prison and you visited me. Say, Lord, when did we do that? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. These people say, we know that they don't get paid for what they do. We know that they paid their own way to come and do it. We know that they are from God. Let me repeat that. We know that they are from God. We cannot underestimate the power of love. All right, I want to finish up here. Your gifts, your spiritual gifts, are incredibly important in this whole process of loving others. You might think that the evangelist, the one who has the gift of evangelism, is really important here. Wrong answer. I would encourage you to look in the Bible, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Peter 4, I think. Do some homework on spiritual gifts that are listed, the gifts of the Spirit. I want to say this. Gifts of mercy, gifts of service, gifts of giving, gifts of hospitality. You guys lead the fight. Do I need to repeat that? You guys hold the high ground in the world today. That young lady said, nobody has ever invited me into their home for a meal. Folks, acts of love carry more weight than any word. Your gifts are useful in this whole process of loving others. And then the last thing I want to say, especially in love and ministry to the gay, lesbian, LGBTQ, RVY, I don't know. Let me finish by saying this. This is not for the immature. All right? This is not for the immature. Grace Community Church exists so people can come here. They are directed to know Jesus. Not know about him. we don't give tests here that, you know, how much do you know about Jesus? You know, is it A, B, C, or D, none of the above? No, we don't do that. We lift up Jesus. We encourage you to know him personally because he is your life. You got to know him. The immature is not ready for this kind of ministry. The church in America is full of people who have remained babies for years. It's okay to be a baby for a while, but it's not okay to be a baby for 20 years. It's not okay to pick a church just because Rick can really shred it on the guitar. We were at another church one time, and they were playing some of the songs we sing here. Sandy leaned over to me and says, "Man, Rick does that part way better." It's good for us to laugh because this is serious business. You can't come and be a baby for 20 years. This is a life and death struggle. God wants mature people who know Christ and who can say with the Apostle Paul, "For to me, to live is Christ." He's looking for people who can say with the Apostle Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." To love people, to dine with sinners. Jesus wants to touch sinners through you and me. At Pentecost, he said, "Guys, I've gone as far as I can in this body. May I have yours?" Oh, that we would love people and that we would not be influenced by the Pharisees who say they're unclean. Don't let them in. It's an embarrassment. No. Jesus died for people who are an embarrassment. Let's pray. Father, you have given us such serious matter. It boggles my mind that you have called us to collaborate with you, but you have. Oh, find in us hearts that want to be like Jesus. Find in us obedience to let him live his life through us and to touch those we would consider unclean and very different from us. Use us to explain what God is really like. And we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.